There are stars in the southern sky. Southward as you go. There is moonlight and moss in the trees. Down the seven bridges roll.
Such good harmonies. Fantastic harmonies. Does that go in the garbage?
No. Probably not.
Well, you are listening to the Drew Marshall Show. Thanks for tuning in. So much has happened and so much more to come. As I like to explain to people, we do these things called journey segments because, I don't know, I was watching Hallmark one day and I decided that'd be a
and
good name.
You have to say them just like that.
Journey segments. And the reason that we do these is because when I was growing up in the church scene, the only stories I ever heard were people who struggled with something and then they found Jesus and they didn't struggle anymore. And that didn't kind of go with what was happening in my life or the people's lives around me, but it's what they put up on the platform. And so I decided that if I was going to do this show, I would platform people who were having struggles still and wonderings and tough time and I don't know. You know, it's never clean.
No.
The older you get, the more you realize that the clean stories are just fake.
Well, maybe not fake, just you know, as deep as a quarter is.
Right. That was heavy.
They're not that heavy.
Michelle is in studio, and Michelle grew up in a loving Christian home. She even served in her family's Christian ministry. Michelle gave her life to Jesus as a child and has really, you know, loved and followed him ever since. Around the age of 20, she finally admitted to herself she was attracted to another woman. Although she never turned her back on Jesus, Michelle eventually withdrew from the family and the ministry, feeling that God couldn't use her and that she would possibly bring shame on them because she was a lesbian. Throughout the years, Michelle and her father have never really gotten too deep into the subject of her, quote, lifestyle, as both of them were probably afraid that the conversation might do some damage to their relationship. You never know how that's going to go. But recently, though, they both sat down and had one of the most in-depth talks ever. And it just turns out that this is our Father's Day show. So that works. Although her life in the shadows has mostly been out of respect for her family's ministry, she has felt God calling her out of the shadows recently, saying, "Come, face me. Lay your life at my feet and see what I will do." And I would dare say that she's at a point where she realizes she's got two daddies that are kind of proud of her. So, Michelle, how are you feeling being here today?
A little nervous.
Yeah?
A little nervous.
Because I'm going to start off a little directly here. You're still in the shadows?
I think pretty well everyone I know knows I'm gay, but...
Right.
You know... This is my first public forum.
Right. I remember you and I spoke years ago, and the first thing that I remember from our conversation years ago was you basically saying, "Look, I'm not one of these, hey, let's go down to the Pride Parade kind of lesbians." Mm-hmm. What? Why? Why aren't you like that? You know, your rights have been trampled on, and your freedom, and your, I don't know. Why aren't you like that?
But... Not really, because everyone has always treated me very well, whatever their beliefs are about my lifestyle,
yeah.
Quotes, I've always been treated very well. So as far as trampled rights, I wouldn't go that far. But I think it's more I associate pride with the world, where I don't consider myself part of the world. In the Christian sense.
Right. So that's a phrase that Jesus people would use, and they're saying, well, I'm trying to rise above the world standards in terms of...
Differentiate yourself.
Yeah. Right. So do you have friends that in the lesbian community that are part of the pride thing, or no?
They go, and they have a few beers and stuff like that, but they're not, like, marching in... Less than adequate clothing or anything like that.
Less than adequate clothing. Right, okay. Yeah, that was one, I think you, well, that was one of the first things where I said, I guess I admired that, but I was trying to figure out whether I admired it because I was an awkward nervous heterosexual guy, not sure of the same gender attraction world. And so if you weren't going to be all rah-rah, well, at least I could talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the rest of the thing scared me back then.
Mm-hmm.
This would be 10 years ago when we first spoke, I think.
Yeah, around there.
20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time you really kind of went, eh.
It's one of those, you know, looking back, hindsight 2020 thing. But, yeah, the first real attraction, I would say, would be about that age.
Did you date guys before then?
Not date, you know.
Buddies?
Made out a bit.
Right. Made out a bit.
Praying in tongues.
Yes. Yes.
Really? Do you remember how, I don't know, maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but how terrified you were that you would be found out? Or was that ever a reality
for
you?
No, it was more, well, this will never happen again. This is just one-time thing. This will never happen again, you know. And no, I wasn't terrified. No.
No.
You just, I think you put your blinders on and just kind of keep going forward, hoping.
Hoping what? That you would change? That you weren't really
a
lesbian?
I don't know. It's, yeah, I would think so. This will never happen again. Can't, you know, that's because everything you've been raised to believe, it's like, you know, the gays and the queers, you know, it's very negative, everything.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
And it still is a lot today as well.
You know, I think back to my days involved in ministries or camping or whatever, and I kind of shudder to remember how I used to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tim said the other day, last week, you said to me, you know, you would have freaked out, 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Having this kind of conversation on the show. So I have said, I think we did a topic a while back where I said, you know, I'm just not as wound up as I used to be about the gay stuff. Do you think that's just because the people behind the gay agenda have worn us down and it's now more culturally acceptable?
I think...
You have to say it in that kind of voice, too.
Just like Journey.
Journey. I would say that a big part of it is what people envision as the gay lifestyle, in quotes again. You know, in the 70s and 80s, what did you picture as the gay lifestyle? You know, it's men in public bathrooms and clubs and, you know, not that it doesn't go on today, but, you know, the new reality is, you know, Mitch and Cam on Modern Family, it's two guys that love each other and want to have a family and aren't out doing disgusting things.
Random things,
with people they don't know.
What was the number one scripture that tripped you up when it came to, oh, this will never happen again. No, I'm not a lesbian. No, this is just one.
There's only one for girls anyway, really. And that's Romans 1. But if you actually read before that, even the women gave up their natural desires, whatever, it's talking about God haters and idol worshipers, and they were so bad that God gave them over to their lusts. And it's like, that is not me. I've been a Christian my whole life. I've never been promiscuous. That's not me. So to say that that's why I'm a lesbian, no, that's not why I'm a lesbian.
Right.
And, you know, when this most recent journey started this year, I'm watching all the TV preachers and getting just saturating myself as much as possible. And, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. He made you exactly as you are. And, you know, you have been created ideally for the situation that God's going to put you in, basically. So do you say that to one person and then say, oh, no, not you. You're God's only mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you discount it for one person, then you discount it for everybody.
Okay, well, that now we're into the discussion, because I'm thinking about those people and how they would push back on this, and now we're into the discussion of, well, come on, this is your choice. Just stop living
as,
like this.
As people say, why on earth would you choose, especially growing up in a Christian home, why would you choose that for yourself? If it was just, I could be with men or I could be with women, whatever, then why wouldn't you choose just to marry a man and continue on with normal life and be accepted and loved and have a purpose in the church and why on earth would you choose it? But
have you ever felt like an outsider? I'm sure you would.
I feel like an outsider all the time because in the gay community, I'm on the outside because I'm a Christian and I don't drink and I, you know, don't want to party and all the rest of it. And on the Christian side, I'm an outsider because it's all the church ladies and, you know, I don't fit in there.
You don't do frill?
I don't do frill. I don't do bejeweled.
Bedazzled.
And bedazzled. So.
Right. When was the time you felt the most attacked or looked down upon, or, you know, whether it's a random conversation in a locker room or hanging around, you know, a bunch of church people and comments were thrown. I mean, do you remember really being hurt by people's attitudes?
No, not for me personally, because, as I said, everyone in my life has been very kind, despite, even if they disagree with the lifestyle.
Then why did you pull away from your family? Why did you pull away from the ministry?
Because of the Bible verses. Well, because of the church being so judgmental. I was going to say the church could open its own lumber store from the planks in our eyes.
Oh, nice. Well done.
Thank you. Good.
Tim's going to make a t-shirt out of
yes.
it.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's just, I know, like, even when a certain family situation where somebody was remarried and the person they married was divorced, even though her husband left her. Mm-hmm.
And there was judgment on them.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, and there's another quote I read that this guy said, my father thought that I had shamed him in the church and that I had walked away from God. And if I was going to continue to live in this house, I'd have to start paying rent. And that's because he was a Nazarene and he had spoken in tongues. So if we can't even agree and accept people within our church family, within the body of Christ over things like that,
yeah.
like what hope is there?
For you being a lesbian.
Yes.
Being accepted, well, yeah.
And that all of a sudden the whole church will turn around and change their mind. Some are, but it's not going to be.
Why didn't God fix you?
You'll have to ask him.
Did you ever ask?
Yes. And I don't know if you've read the book Torn by Justin Lee.
Oh, right. Yeah, we had Justin on the show talked about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So he, you know, that's what he talked about. He went to all the conferences and all the courses and all the things that are supposed to cure you. And nope. You know, I believe God created me this way for a purpose.
So you ask God to fix you. Dear God, dear baby Jesus, who do you pray to, by the way?
Yes, all three.
Okay. Please, I don't want to be a lesbian because apparently it's not good and I want to not be a lesbian, so stop me from being a lesbian.
My prayer is, Lord, I believe you've made me this way, but if I'm being deceived by Satan, yes, the character, the actual being, Satan, if I'm being deceived, as many of the people in the church would say, then reveal it to me. If you want me to marry a man, then reveal it to me. If you want me to go on the mission field, then send me. But he's told me, stay right where you are. You're exactly where I want you to be. And just wait.
But what if you went to, what if you went to one of those ministries that fix gays?
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't been to one, but I talked to a guy who was at one, and he said it was so ridiculous. They had all the lesbians, and they put them in dresses and heels and made them all up and then paraded them through the auditorium, whatever. And he said, it's all gay men. Who are they parading these women for?
Oh, my goodness.
And he said the women, their mascara was all running. They were, like, humiliated. They were in tears. And it's like, I don't really picture that Jesus would approve of that. And who is it that shuns and shoos people away, even when Jesus was here? It was his disciples, the Samaritan woman. What are you doing talking to her? If they'd been to the well first, they would have shooed her away in advance. Mm-hmm. And what are those little children doing here? Shoo them away. Don't let them bother Jesus. And Jesus says, no, let them come to me. Don't hinder the ones that want to come to me. So is the church actually hindering the little children that want to come to Jesus?
I know, she's making me be quiet here.
Yeah. I know, this is a first.
You need to come in more often.
Doesn't make for good radio. Did anyone ever come to you and try to talk you out of the gay stuff? I'm going to keep using these horrible terms because I can with you. But
well, someone outed me to my dad years
ago. Someone else outed you?
Yes, yeah, and a few other people along with me. So we had a discussion at that time.
Your dad and you?
Yeah. You know.
How'd that go?
Not great. But I think just shock for him probably more than anything. Which, sure. If you know me, it maybe shouldn't be that much of a shock, but it's when it's your own daughter, it's I think it's always a shock, or son.
Speaking of blinders.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, you get, I just got an email recently from a long, long time family friend, and it started with, you know, small talk, then, you know, your lifestyle. And I just stopped reading right there, and I gave it to somebody else, my brother-in-law, and they said, read this and just make sure
that I can continue reading it.
Well, that if I continue I don't want to be all mad at them when it doesn't contain what I thought it would contain, but right. It contained exactly what I thought it would contain. So
you didn't read the rest?
No. You want to show me the verses? I've read all the verses. You know, there's nothing new that you're going to, when you walk up to someone and say, you know, your lifestyle's wrong, you know. It's like, is that how you're going to win someone to Jesus? And are we the only ones not on the list to be won?
So I'm the person that cares about you and your family and your family's ministry, and I come up to you and I say, you know, your lifestyle is just, it's a sin, it's an abomination to God, and here's the verses. And you would say, well, okay, but I really feel I am this way. God made me this way. I was born this way. And besides, I've said to God, if I've been deceived, then fix me.
Well, I just was watching. There's a guy on YouTube, Bill Johnson, who I've been watching a lot because I love all his stuff on the Holy Spirit. And then I saw one. Sexual immorality. So I thought, oh, I better balance it out and watch that one. Well, he read, I think it was Romans, and he read the whole verse, which talks about all sexual immorality, but his whole spiel was against homosexuals. And he basically belittled the spiritual journey, I think, of people who've gone through what we go through. You know, because everything that people say, well, the Lord knows my heart, all the rest of it, it's only one person that I've committed my life to one person. So his whole argument, you know, he was basically fighting back all what gay Christians had said to him. And he basically, like you're saying that God can't change you? Of course he can change you. And as you said, then why hasn't he? Because he's created us for a purpose, and whether that purpose will ever be seen by heterosexual evangelists or not, I don't know.
Can I just ask something?
No. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
You keep talking about this purpose. Have you sensed that purpose? Do you see it? Do you?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Whether you need to share it or not, I just...
Yeah, I'd like to, actually, okay. Because this year I've gone through something very traumatic to me. It's kind of every day to other people, but to me it was very traumatic. And I was just going to, you know, I'm going to go to another country. I'm just going to get away from here. And I felt God saying, no, don't go there. I want you to go to Florida. And I went to Florida, and I went to this little church there. And I'd said to him, Lord, like the gay Christians I've seen so far, I don't want to be them. It's like they're gay and apologetically Christian. And that's not what I want to be, and that's not who I am. So I said, show me who you want me to be. So I found this little church, went right by where I stayed in Florida, and they're the most amazing Christians. Like, you know, you want God's will for your life. Everything, God has to be first in your life, and they're just, like, so focused on the Lord. And I'm actually going to a conference and meeting them there in a few weeks, where it's the gay churches more on the Pentecostal side, spirit-filled type churches. And we're meeting in a couple weeks. And just meeting with those people and seeing where their church is going, what I feel the Lord's put in my heart, that, you know, and there's multiple churches around, so it'll be interesting to see after this conference where I think the Lord is going.
What if you're wrong?
What if I'm wrong?
Yeah.
Well,
What if
I'm wrong and I lead 1,000 gay people to Jesus and we're theologically not sound, but they know Jesus and they love Jesus? What if the preachers are wrong and they have not only those 1,000 won't come to know Jesus, but they've shooed away an additional 1,000 people who did believe in Jesus?
So there's a thing called Pascal's Wager, which you may have heard of, which basically says, you know, live your life like there is a God, because if you live your life like there's a God and there is a God, bonus. Mm-hmm. If you live like your life like there is a God and there is no God, it's really no loss.
No.
You've lived in a pretty amazing life.
Yeah.
So when it comes to, you know, you thinking that who you are as a person, mm-hmm, is going to be potentially a disappointment to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you move forward in something like that? And then I parallel it with fathers. You know, so you've had this, you know, a very interesting relationship with your dad over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just stay on that path to see if we can parallel it, you know, jump into the God stuff in a second. Do you think your dad ever was disappointed in you?
Ever?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he was ever disappointed. I think he's very proud of me, the person I am, my character, that all I want is to, that I'm seeking God with all my heart. I think that's very important to him.
Mm-hmm.
And whether he will ever agree that God made me this way by design.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to point out there's a good thing on the internet. It's called Letters to Louise, or Letter to Louise. And it's a pastor who was approached by one of his friends and people from his church whose brother was gay. And so this pastor researched and everything, and he's got a really interesting argument, I'll say.
Okay.
But basically, if a heterosexual person can say, God created me as I am, in his own image, then the homosexual person can say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Well, okay, Michelle, what was your darkest time? Because right now, this is the way it sounded. It's right now it sounded like, you know what, and then I was gay, and then I was good, and it was fine. You know, people liked me, and I'm okay, and I didn't have any problems, and, you know, it's.
My darkest time is not, well, it's related, but it's not related. It's when my partner left. After 23 years, which is what began me on this journey of, you know, on my drive to Florida, I just felt like the Lord was saying, quit hiding from me.
Hmm.
And so that's when I said, Lord, okay, is this what everyone else thinks it is, that God's telling me my life is sinful and now he's going to marry me off to a man or something? And he said, no.
So after 23 years of being with your partner,
mm-hmm,
she left.
Yeah.
Is that not answer to all the prayers of the people who've been praying for your life to turn around?
I'm sure some of them would think so. But it's a different, it's a different circumstance, it doesn't change my heart. I still love her and would be with her again. You know, so no, I'm not healed. Hmm. It changed my situation. And, you know, that's what I was going to say about when Bill Johnson kind of discounted people. You know, they talk about surrendering to the Lord and the hours they've spent on their knees, you know, in their bedroom or on their face in their bedroom, weeping. It's like, guess what I've been doing for the last 9 months? Every night, weeping, weeping, weeping. Lord, show me. Lord, show me. Don't let me be deceived. So he talked about how much God thinks of us. He gave this example of he'd been flipping through a magazine and saw this flask. He thought, well, that's really beautiful, but I'd have no use for it. And then 2 months later, someone gives him a flask. And he read it as the Lord saying, this is how much I care about you, that I would give you a gift that you don't even need. So that same God that thinks that much of you, that he would get you a gift that you don't need just to show you how much he loves you, is that the same God that would say to me, I don't care about your tears, I don't care about your pleading, I don't care that you're seeking me, you're gay?
So prior to your partner leaving you,
mm-hmm.
you never had any dark, desolate, I'm disconnected with my family a little bit stuff. I'm disconnected from the church community as a whole. I feel isolated.
Yeah, I feel isolated. But, my family, I ended up getting much closer to my family after a few years. And, we as a couple were very much a part of our family's life. Mm. Like every family function we were invited to. And so we weren't separated from the family. It was more my not fitting into either world, so I was never really a church going person, the occasional, not regular everyday, no. really involved in a church because of I was in a ministry already.
Yeah, you had church every day anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. To me, it would seem like you are incredibly blessed to be a same gender attracted Christian in the time that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the time we're in right now, this has never, never been more accepted than it is right now.
And I think that's all part of the plan. One of the pastors that said, God created you exactly as you are, he said, for this exact time in history. And that's the first time I've ever heard anyone say that. And it just struck me. That's exactly right. This is, my partner leaving, me addressing who I am,
mm-hmm.
and quit hiding from me, face me, and learn what I think, is what he's saying. And that's what I want other people to do as well. If you've been shunned by your church or your family, go to him.
What if God reveals to you, because apparently he reveals stuff to you, right? That's a kind of a new concept for me.
You're too busy talking to hear him. That's why.
Yeah, another time we need to bring her back.
Cheeky. What if he reveals to you, Yeah, it's not cool. Being a lesbian is not cool with me. What if God reveals that to you? What would you do with that?
Then I would probably be celibate. But that's what I've been saying for the last almost 12 months now. Daily, like all I do, like I haven't been working. I don't need to work for this year. So that's basically all I do is read, watch pastors on YouTube.
Read what?
Books, the Bible. I've probably read through the Bible a couple times in the last year. Not all of it.
Skip the genealogy part, did you?
Skipping the genealogy, yep, and all the depressing Israelite
battles and yeah. traumas.
Yep.
But the part where Indiana Jones found the Ark, you have read that.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
That's,
and seen it, yeah.
That's in First Harrison, verse 2.
Yeah.
I just want to throw myself into this conversation because I've known you for a little bit, and I've always admired the journey that you've been on from a distance because I would plead my ignorance in all of this. And so when I think about people who listen to Joy 1250 regularly and they listen to the ministries and they're of the mindset that homosexuality is a sin and there's a verse and it's clear and it's right there, da 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 da.
It's right there in plain English.
Yes. And that's why it's taken theologians of both sides to debate this for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying too. We can't even agree if you should speak in tongues. We don't even agree if miracles ended with the death of the apostles. Like, we right. can't agree on anything. This is not going to be one that we're going to agree on. So that's why I go to him, not to people.
And this is what I'm trying to say is, far be it from me, the spiritually pathetic dork that I am, who Preach. Does not fall on his face and plead before God day in, day out.
Mm-hmm.
To question the journey that you've been on, because if anybody has supplicated times 10 more than me, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody has sought after God's will and direction, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, what else can you say, Tim, to somebody who you think is living a lifestyle that is against the Word of God, and yet every day has poured their heart out to God, not just in the last 12 months, but over the last 20 years?
I think Michelle's already said it. She's not going to people. She's going to the source. And I think that's the best way to look at it. You know, theologians can argue a lot of stuff. Like, I've come myself in this whole journey. I used to be, you know, your typical homophobic Christian zealot. Mm-hmm. But I've realized over the years that it's just, you know, there's 10 verses about homosexuality in the Old Testament. There's also 10 verses about gluttony. Mm-hmm. And I'm never and surprised.
Bacon that eating.
No, but the point is, you know, bacon. I wouldn't be surprised to hear a bunch of, you know, people stuffing their faces silly at the Mandarin, calling themselves Christians, complaining about the gays. Mm-hmm. And I just find that, like, utterly ridiculous. And if God is a God of love, then that's it to me.
But the pushback in that is hold on.
I can keep pushing back, and it's this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two things are based all the law and the prophets.
Mm-hmm. Mic
that's
drop.
It.
Amen.
That's it. That's Amen. It.
And Romans 2, I think.
Which conveniently follows Romans 1.
You who know the law, you who profess to know the law, do you hold yourself equally accountable to the law? How many non-believers blaspheme God because of your hypocrisy? So,
yeah, we just had Andy and John talking about that.
Mm-hmm. You are quiet, Drew.
Love is love is love is love.
All right, enough of the bumper stickers. So, the last conversation you had with your dad, what'd it feel like?
Good. Like, we don't talk about the gay thing a lot. I think he knows that I think I'm made this way for a purpose, and I don't know if he agrees. Mm-hmm. I think he's more open to see what happens than he was. Mm-hmm. But I know my dad loves me and will always love me. As far as Father's Day.
Stuff. Yeah. What's in your hand?
I have been praying a lot about this show. And this morning, the Lord gave me Romans
She's
9.
She's using air quotes.
Uh-oh, Drew. Watch out, bro.
For your benefit, Drew, I'll do the air quotes. Can I read it?
Yes, please.
Then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? That was 19, and it goes back to verse 16. It does not, therefore, depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So, if you hear the people in the church talking, you know, they always talk about going out to all the nations. Well, there's a nation right here living among you, and they haven't heard the gospel. And as my favorite speaker on YouTube, Heidi Baker, said, they may have heard the gospel, but not with compassion. So, you know, who else do you go up to when you're going to witness to someone, tell them about Jesus and say, you know, you're disgusting, you know, oh, and Jesus loves you, but only after
you've chastised them and put them in their place.
Or first you have to change. There's no come as you are.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's first you have to change. Yeah. You know. So.
Well, thank goodness the rules change for those people first before they changed it for
you.
Right. Yeah. That's important to note.
Well, if you weren't out before, you're out now.
I'm incognito. Look at my disguise.
she has a mustache and Groucho Marx nose on, glasses. Thank you. Because I know this was weird for you to come and talk about this. And I know that this is a weird time for you. I know that you've been battling with loneliness. Mm-hmm. You and I have had some interesting battles together. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of you, which sounds a little trite.
Not trite. Thank you.
Yeah.
Coming from Jewett actually means a lot.
Yes, I'm sure it does.
No, I'm proud of you. And I'm really glad that you actually decided to come on the show and share this stuff, because I don't want any church person, any God, religious, Christian, whatever, I don't want anyone who would ever hear this show to be sitting there struggling all by themselves alone, mm-hmm. just because they're gay.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that people are killing themselves over this has got to be a wake-up call to us.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard that said, my brother actually said something about that, kind of intimating that it's because they're gay that they're killing themselves. And I don't think it's that. I think it's because they know they're gay, but there's no option for them, mm-hmm. you know, other than to be beaten or to be hated mm-hmm. and alone. So that's not what Jesus says.
Amen. Okay, well, if you've just tuned in, you actually are listening to the Drew Marshall Show, even though there's been a lot of spiritual stuff God talk happening, and scripture, and grace, and love, and ugh, all that stuff.
You look pale, Drew.
I am. Okay, well, we are going to take a break on our show. We'll be right back. Tori, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you have anything you'd like to share with our listeners at this particular point in time?
Indeed, I do.
Indeed. Let's see if you can say this all the way through without stuttering once. We're all watching. And action.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign. Well, what if we gave you an entire show?
Wow, that's a great idea.
The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative and affordable advertising concept for the small business owner. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you the opportunity to partner with us for an entire show. Become a one-day advertising partner, and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, and we'll give you a live five-minute phone interview.
Crazy.
Oh, and one more thing.
Yes?
We'll also offer... Sorry. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. So if you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with the Drew Marshall Show. Contact us through our website, drewmarshall.ca, and ask about becoming a one-day advertising partner.
Good, good. Ladies and gentlemen, Tori, the intern.
Yeah!
Yes, well done, Tori, the intern. Very well done.
You made it easy for me.
I did make it easy for you.
Oh, man.
I made you start over again.